cross your mind to make a goalie change after a period?
No, not there. I thought we were all in it together. Well, not. I think we. No, it didn't. You know, I mean, that game going into the second period is going one of two ways. For me, it's either going to continue on, and I'm not going to leave him very long just to, because he doesn't need to face more shots in a game that you're not coming back in, or you're going to get a chance to come back in that game. And if you do, he's earned that right to be the guy that makes the save on Arvidsson in the third period. So I didn't think about it.
Tyler Myers says that save, the bench reacted as if you'd scored a goal.
Well, right, because the way that Connor has played for us this year, and then, you know, a couple of those are squeakers on him early, and but we're all the same, right? We're all playing the exact same game. We're a little tight. So it's a pretty close-knit group, and they knew the value of it for sure.
You're up 2-1 in the series, so things are okay, but thinking of how much even harder to stop your team would be if Nick Ehlers and Kyle Connor were also scoring. So how important, how much focus are you putting on trying to get them going?
Be zero. It's line work now. I remember answering a question, so this is about 18 years ago, I think, 16 years ago. We're heading in to play Detroit in the final, and Sammy Kapanen wasn't scoring. So you got to get Sammy Kapanen scoring. But the answer was why? If you are fortunate enough, and we're fortunate enough to move on to a next round, somebody's got to carry the ball, and it's never the same guy, right? Mark's scoring right now, which means whoever's playing with him is right. Stas is scoring, whoever's playing with him is right. You know, guys that can score, it's almost like saying, well, this guy scored, everybody should score 40, you know? Don't need him scoring. I need him playing well. I need the line playing well.
Paul, given all the looks Patrick Laine's had in the last two games, what is that telling you about his game? Is he ready to break out other parts of his game?
Yeah, I mean, he goes through stretches where he looks exactly the same when the puck goes in. I can't tell whether it's going in when he leaves his stick. I don't think most goalies can either some nights. He goes through stretches where they get a glove on it, misses the net, and then he goes through stretches and it's, I mean, I've told that story. You've heard it, that in training camp, he was hitting posts and missing the net and talking to himself and finish, and I thought I'd correct him on it. And then he scored about 9 straight the next practice, so I never said a word to him about it, right? He's getting his shots. They'll go for him at some point.
Paul, I know you prefer him to be under the radar, but how would you describe the impact Josh Morrissey's having on these playoffs?
Just that. Like, if you watch an awful lot of hockey and appreciate more than, and I'm trying to make this is not a negative statement to fans, but other than highlight packages, if you watch what happens in the 10 feet of ice around a player, the impact of it game after game after game, you'll come to love his game.
Describe his growth, I mean, from his first game to now. I mean, obviously there's a long path. But
almost flat. Like, and that's all these other kids go from, we've had, have gone from kind of here and taken off, right in front of you. October doesn't look like November, December. They keep building and they keep getting better. Josh wasn't part of our team. He had lots to learn, get better, and then he made our team, and he was that good. I mean, almost day one. Has he gotten better? For sure, right? Reads, he's stronger. He's a better player. But from a consistency point of view, he's equally as consistent right from the day one.
One quick one on Nikolaj Ehlers. Obviously, he has a speed game. Do you feel like he pushes the pace even more when you have him with Mark and Blake because of the speed element that they play with?
His game changes slightly, but that's more about the people around him. So there are times when Blake and Mark can really use a player that plays a completely straight-line speed game, and when Kyle's playing that game, they accomplish certain things, right? Their forecheck looks a certain way. And then there are certain times where they could use somebody to carry the mail a little bit, be a little bit more dynamic with the puck, especially if they're getting covered off as much as they are and they're getting watched as heavily as they are. So a player like Nicky, who can take it around the back, then add up the pipe, pull some people off with some more dynamic kind of skating. Those are two different skaters, right? Both really, really fast. One is... And Kyle can make moves for sure, but he's almost a straight line guy, and Nicky Ehlers can go sideways almost as fast as he can go forward. So it changes the room, I think, that the other two guys have with him.
Paul, the guys were talking about what a boost that change gave them. How do you anticipate going into game four? Do you leave them the same as you finished or go back to what you had?
Evasion is coming. I've seen both work really well, right? And we flip those guys quite a bit during the year. Kyle has played with all four lines. So we'll get a feel how the morning skate goes and go from there.
NHL clarified the difference between headshots and incidental contact earlier in the week. Is, and again, a series as physical as this, is this something you guys talk about, and if so, how so?
No, we would never talk about it other than, it never comes up. Nobody goes in and says, hey, we're not getting enough headshots out there, or the opposite, you know. If a guy's got a problem, I will tell you this, the players will make the adjustment to all rule changes and all rule changes much faster than the coaches can implement it. They'll figure out, go back to, for some of you, like 25, 30 years ago, the low bridge knee hit was the scourge of the National Hockey League. Guys were getting their knees taken out and they took in kneeing penalties and the low bridge penalty, and all of a sudden it just kind of disappeared from the game, right? So this game gets faster. It was probably an easier game 10, 15 years ago, definitely before the changes in 06, because there was so much more tugging going on. The speed was completely different, and guys skated different, right? Like, it was all kind of stuff. A guy would line you up, but he really didn't come off the tracks because he didn't have the skating ability to do it. Now these guys are putting themselves in greater risk because they can, right? They can cut back and they can do things with the puck. It's not off the glass. It's not around the boards anymore. By, do you think of Tyler Myers last night, cut back right in front of the forechecker and straight up the pipe. So on those cutbacks, you're going to get a little bit more exposed. And we don't want to lose the cutbacks, and we don't want to lose the skating. We certainly don't want to lose the hitting. Yeah, I'm just telling you, it's harder to call than it looks. It's harder to call, and I've sat in on those hearings where it changes in a split second. And another, his principal point of contact, it's not easy to figure out. Don't like them. Certainly don't like injuries that are from them. I think, though, that as they extend out the suspensions, players, again, will make the adjustment faster.
And just one quick follow-up. We saw a quick whistle last night with a puck to a Nashville player's head. Do you want to see quicker whistles if there's a suspected concussion?
Anything to the head as fast as we possibly can. Anything off the knee, you're on your own. All right, we can fix that bone, but if it's a shot to the throat and you're not aware of it, I mean, think of even Chris Pronger, he took the one on the chest that was very dangerous. Anything that's in an area that you think it might have been, blow it down. I don't get the cost, the potential cost on the extreme certainly outweighs a puck in the net for sure.
Well, different guys over the years dominate.
It's hard to say. So that my first thought is, the question came with Gretzky in it and Byfuglien. So I'd like a slight separation on the two. But the fact that he's a defenseman changes it. So when I start to think, I'm trying to run through my head, right? So when you're a kid, right, I've got Pronger. But you wouldn't have found him around the other team's net. In behind it, certainly, because he was playing 30 minutes a night. The rest 20 was in the box, so he was really, you know, fatigued. So Dustin is behind the net with puck possession an awful lot up the ice. I would say this, for a guy that hits, and I'll make my case now, as cleanly as he hits, you don't see the hands, right? There's not a lot of guys that size that hit like that that also have really pure hands. But I wouldn't put him in that other guy's group yet. That's a tough one.
We talked to some real subdued guys here 48 hours ago after the double overtime loss, and the message was they need to park it, and that would take some time. This morning we talked to a bunch of guys who are really jacked up. And is it Would you like to see some of that energy carry over to Thursday?
Was Jay Temple my players or your the media group?
That's a fair question. Your guys
well,
were
I think
pretty,
our guys went home
pretty
last
hyped
sure
up in the room right now.
You guys, where you guys went? Yeah, we'll beat that positivity out of them as fast as we can. No, I mean, we talk about enjoying the pressure, and enjoying the day, which sounds silly, but you got to love this. You got to love the pressure. You got to love the games, the excitement, and then handle what's in front of you. So the first period was in front of us. We had to learn how to handle that. The loss was in front of us. So now we have to, it was an unusual win in the playoffs. So we have to learn how to handle that too. I want them in a good mood today. Like, I want them feeling good about their game because you need it. It all goes to, I think what I said yesterday, goes to belief and confidence, right? Every time you win a game, you get a little bit more belief. Every time you lose, your belief takes a little bit of a hit. So you have to absorb some of the happiness from a win and keep it.
As far as Matthew Perreault, we just spoke to him. You're going to have a conversation with him today, and how would that go, and what decisions go into that?
Yeah, I talk to almost all the guys every day, and he's not wearing a yellow sweater, so that puts him in a different spot.
The last one is you haven't made a point of going down the line behind the bench when a young player might make a bit of a blunder. With Roslovic's penalty last night, there's nothing you needed to say
what
to him.
What was the first part of it? Oh, haven't gone down to say anything to him.
To any of your players, you've made that point that you don't usually have to remind anybody when they've made a mistake.
I do most of my talking when the play's on, so you can't tell.
Would he need to learn
that fairly early on. The cameras are only going to be on you when the puck stopped. So you wait for the puck to drop if you have a message that you don't want to be picked up. And everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. If I'm gonna try to mold a man's character, we'll do it in the regular season and make a statement. He also made a spectacular back check in that game, saved us a goal. So we'll deal with taking two more hard strides so you don't put yourself in a position to look that it looks like an interference penalty. But oh, there was a lot of good in this game too.
Well, have you seen any difference in Dustin's game this year? Or is he playing it maybe more consistently?
Oh, it's completely different, right? But it goes back to the very, very start. So we were 27th in the National Hockey League for odd man rushes against last year. I'm not putting that all on Dustin, but we were chasing games for one an awful lot. So some of what his play would have looked like maybe last year you might have thought was reckless. It was Dustin's personality. We're down a goal. He wants to be a difference maker. Like, he's a competitive man. So we were in a lot better situation a lot of times this year. We didn't have to chase the game. But he spent the first 4 months of this year being right about when he was going in and when he wasn't. And he wasn't scoring an awful lot. So he was apparently taking some heat. We thought he was playing great, but he was taking some heat. And then the puck started to go for him. But he's been a different style defenseman now for the whole year. It was right from day one.
You commented, and this is back to Ehlers and Connor, about how they skate differently, they move differently through the neutral zone. It makes their teammates sort of make different reads in terms of how the puck's getting moved up the ice and in the offensive zone too. As you guys get to know the other team very, very well and they get to know you, how important is variation, kind of diverting from the straight lines and the X's and O's that you started with?
It would depend on how you feel it's going. Because if you like the way it's going, you're not looking for any deviation, right? We all have a great plan when we go to the rink. I know who I'm going to play this guy against, and then the game happens. So your number one line, and you guys are reading Scheif, but the number one line I want to do something with, either I want to check with him, and maybe that's Lowry's, maybe I'm looking to get Stastny out against a certain. It's a nice plan until the puck drops. And either the line they're playing against is having a big night, or Stas line's having a big night, and now I want to do something else. So you can have a plan, but by the time you get here, you are what you are. We haven't hard matched like that all year for a reason. We're better in a slight flow, right, that we don't hard match. But like I said, you bring your plan to the rink, but how the players perform is the most important part of the plan. you know, it'll be an example of it. I played Andre Pavlik in Dallas 3-4 years ago, and I heard that I got destroyed on social media for that idea. And we beat him 2-1, I don't know if you remember, but we got, it might have been the best game I've ever seen. Well, it was the best game I ever saw Andre Pavlik play. And top 5 or 6 performances by a goalie. It was ridiculous. And after the game, he said, hey, you put the right guy in. No, he just played great. My decision is based on these 3 or 4 things, and that's all the player's performance. So I go into a game with an idea of what I want, and then if it's not looking the way I had planned, I try to adjust to it.